A Lutheran, he and I went to Army Navy, and we know how that turned out. But anyway, we went to Army Navy, and there he was talking about his church back in Wisconsin, and he was disappointed that they had cut out one of the Sundays of Advent, so that we didn't have, you know, fourth Sunday of Advent and then Christmas Eve coming right together. You know, but I praise God that we stick to our liturgy, and sometimes it requires extra sacrifice from us to do. But we are to do sacrifice and fasting and special prayers for our Lord. And it's so good to see so many of you here out here today. I know that a number of you have changed the Mass that you normally go to, and change is hard, right? Change is really, really, really hard. But many of you did it, and God bless you, and the Lord sees you, and the Lord loves you. On this last Sunday of Advent, as a solemn celebration of Christ's birth approaches, the church reminds us of that holy day 9 months earlier when Jesus was conceived in his mother's womb. There are at least two great mysteries connected with that day. The first is the mystery of God becoming man, the incarnation. God has loved us so much that he became one of us, so that he could save us from sin and the meaninglessness that sin brings, and show us the way to a meaningful life now and forever. The second mystery is that God didn't and doesn't work out that plan of salvation for us all by himself. Instead, he asks for our cooperation. In today's gospel, God invites Mary to become the mother of the Savior. It was possible for Mary to reject that invitation, as in the parable of the many townspeople who declined the king's invitation to attend his wedding feast. Mary could have said, "Thanks for the invitation, Lord, but what you're asking me is actually very inconvenient for me. I really wish that I could do what you want, but I'm just not there yet." That's how Adam and Eve have responded to God's invitation to take care of the Garden of Eden. But Mary didn't insult God with an answer like that. She knew God and knew that his plans were always wise and wonderful. So she put her life at his service. "I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Pope Benedict XVI once described Mary as a woman deeply imbued with the word of God in Holy Scripture. Reflecting on her Magnificat, he wrote, "Here we see how completely at home Mary is with the Word of God, with what ease she moves in and out of it. She speaks and thinks with the Word of God. The Word of God becomes her Word, and her Word issues from the Word of God." Mary's yes reversed Eve's no, and made room for Christ's undoing of Adam's fall. When God disrupts our plans, we should follow Mary's example, making our contribution to God's work of salvation, however small we might think it might be. Salvation is of God, but we must cooperate with his will. We have a role to play as well. Today's first reading gives us another example of God's partnership strategy in the work of salvation. It brings us back 1,000 years before the incarnation, to the day when God promised King David that he would make one of his descendants into the Savior of the world, the everlasting King. But that promise only happened when King David was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies. David had spent almost 20 years on the run, fighting for his own life and for the survival of Israel against their enemies, the Philistines. But David had spent so much time and energy working hard to do his part in God's plan of salvation that perhaps he had begun to forget who was really in charge after all. After finally achieving peace and prosperity for himself and his people, he looks around and realizes that the Ark of the Covenant, that golden chest containing the Ten Commandments, the manna, and Aaron's staff, the holy place where God's presence is made manifest, is still housed in a tent while he's living in a palace. And David thinks it's time for him to build a beautiful temple for the Ark, as if he would like to share his success and prosperity with God. Share his success with God. But then God sends a message through the prophet Nathan. Should you build me a house to dwell in? In other words, he reminds this great king that God is the one who has been guiding him and giving him success in all his endeavors. He reminds David that his role in God's plan of salvation is real and important, but it's only secondary. God plans and acts. David, like Mary and like every Christian, must discern God's will and be faithful to his word. Now, Mary's yes to God wasn't easy. It involved a total change of her plans. Mary had felt called early on to serve God through consecrated virginity, which meant not having children. This is the reason behind her comment to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" That comment would have made no sense if she were planning on leading a normal married life with Saint Joseph, her betrothed. Life as a virgin consecrated to God was what she had envisioned for herself and what she had planned for. But then the angel came along and changed those plans. God often does the same thing with us. Like a good coach or mentor, he pushes us out of our comfort zone so that we might grow in holiness and reach our full potential as a son or a daughter of God. There are at least three ways in which God tends to disrupt our plans. First, when we are really, really busy and don't want any interruptions, he brings us into contact with someone who needs our help. Has this ever happened to you? I'm thinking it probably has. Second, we suddenly discover that certain popular and fashionable behaviors or activities which we would like to follow and continue with are actually against church teaching, that they cause damage to us and to others. It's an aha moment when the truth of God's word strikes deeply within our souls. Third, when we are really tired, fed up, or angry, our conscience, like the angel Gabriel in today's gospel passage, sends us a message saying that we really need to keep working, or to do a little extra work, or to be extra patient with someone, or to hold our tongue. These are three common ways that God disrupts our personal plans in order to invite us to be participants in his plan of salvation. In 2004, Dr. Richard Swenson wrote a book entitled Margin, Restoring Emotional, Physical, Financial, and Time Reserves to Overloaded Lives. In his book, Swenson makes the point that when any book is printed, the words don't go all the way to the end of the page. The publishers always leave a margin on the top and on the bottom and on the sides, a space that is sometimes about a half inch. Swenson makes the powerful point that we should have margin in our lives. We should give ourselves margin, extra space, and time in our lives so that we can be available to be used by God for an unexpected and unplanned purpose. If, for example, it takes 3 hours to drive to the airport in Atlanta, allow 4 hours, some margin, so that you'll be able to be a help to some unexpected person or event that enters into your life. We all need margin in our lives, and when we plan for it, we are much more available to be used of God for his glory. Are you so overscheduled that you couldn't possibly help someone that God puts into your path? Do you have margin in your life so that you can be used of God? During this Mass, may we ask God for the grace to respond generously to God's disruption in our lives, as Mary did, especially during the Christmas season, so that our part in God's plan of salvation is sure to be accomplished.